Welcome to F1 Debrief. They came from far and wide. Coming up this week, we talk about the SciPod Science Meetup, discuss the race in China, and hear from a special guest.
So I should apologise today because I'm not well.
You're not very well at all.
I am struggling. We went for a SciPodcast Meetup earlier in the week, and I may have overdone it.
Well, we went to the Science Museum, and it didn't seem like the healthiest of places to be, but we'll talk about that more later.
Absolutely. I personally blame Bassano for my sore throat.
Okay.
It's all his responsibility. However, I have got somebody in to help us.
Okay.
We have got a third arm of SciPodcast today. So a little helper who's, because he felt very sorry for us, thought he'd come in to give me a hand every time I struggle. He's going to chip in. So I would like to welcome to SciPodcast Studios, Mr. James Allen. What do you think of it so far, James?
Hand gestures speak volumes.
Oh. Thanks for that, James.
Right.
Do you not want to stick around for the rest of the show? Maybe you know, it's not your thing. Do you think we'll get any better?
Forwards to victory.
Ace.
Good week, bad week.
It's been a good week for the Diffuser 3 as the International Court of Appeal ruled that the double-decker design was legal and all results from the first two races would stand. I don't think it was a big surprise, but it was certainly a relief that the whole thing was over. I did read that BMW hadn't withdrawn their appeal from Malaysia, but presumably they have done by now, or they will do, because it would be bound to go the same way.
Yeah, it was the right decision. And it's a shame that it had to go to that extent in order for people to apologise for how bad they've been doing and to give themselves an excuse for the poor results. Some teams have done better than others, and the International Court of Appeal agrees.
It's been a bad week for Ferrari, who have had to resort to moving around their personnel in an attempt to sort out their problems. Luca Baldessari has been given a factory role, meaning he won't be attending races, whilst Chris Dyer takes over the trackside duties. Smacks of desperation, really, doesn't it?
It's the kind of thing you might want to fix during the winter.
Before the season gets going. Mm,
not the kind of thing you want to sort between race two and race three.
It's been a good week for Vettel and Hamilton as they've both been nominated for the Laureus Awards. The ceremony has had to be cancelled with the economy as it is, but the winners will get their awards individually. Vettel is up for Breakthrough of the Year, whilst Hamilton, who won that very same award in 2008, is up for Sportsman of the Year. He faces competition from Rafael Nadal, Michael Phelps, Cristiano Ronaldo, Usain Bolt and Valentino Rossi.
I have never heard of any of those
you
people.
You must have.
Oh, I probably have really. I don't care about any of them.
No. It's been a bad week for the Race of Champions as they've chosen their new venue as Beijing.
Ha!
Given how lacking in popularity the F1 race is over there, I can't imagine how this will do any better. It's going to be just a few days after the season ends, so apparently part of the appeal is that the Formula One drivers will be over in Abu Dhabi and nearby anyway. However, I think it was Flibster pointed out that drivers from other series might not be so keen to get their body clocks all messed up for a couple of days on a non-championship event.
This is the daftest idea ever. I can't wait to watch, if only to find out exactly how many people are in the crowd. I think we'll be able to count them on one hand.
It's split over 2 days in a country that doesn't care
about motorsport in any way, shape or form.
News and views.
With one hearing out the way, we've just got one left to look forward to, the McLaren lying scandal thing.
Because I'm really looking forward to
Absolutely. That. Absolutely. And the news at the moment is all about the fact that Ron Dennis has abandoned the team in their hour of need.
Abandoned?
Yes.
Interesting choice of phrase. Has he really though? Is it an abandonment?
Well, the news is that McLaren Automotive, which is one of the companies under the McLaren Group, they're going to split off and become an independent company headed up by Ron Dennis. So he's not going to have anything to do with Formula One anymore.
Okay.
Which is weird because a couple of weeks ago he was all, I'm going to turn up to every race. And
yes.
Now he's not having anything to do with it ever.
He's picked up his ball and he's gone his own way. Your thoughts, reasons for doing this might be, is he guilty? Is he done something wrong and he doesn't want to have to come up in Paris in front of Max again, and asked to justify what was going on with Trulli and Hamilton?
I don't think he can have had anything to do with it.
Okay. Option number two. He knows that Max has got it in for him, and he knows that McLaren don't stand a hope in hell of going through another hearing so soon after the last $100 million fine. And therefore, he's keeping out the way in order to appease Max.
Well, it could be that, because he wouldn't be out of his mind to think they've got it in for him. But he has been keeping out of the way quite well already, so I don't know if this extra step would have been necessary.
You think he just got sick of it all?
He may have.
He just, you know, this. My option number three is basically, well, he's had enough.
Well, the final thing is the fact that He just can't believe how rubbish the team has got without him, and he wants nothing to do with them anymore. He's probably a bit embarrassed. I thought he might come back in and save the day, but if he's not going to do that, then the best thing to do is to get out.
Well, the problem is he can't come back in and save the day, because if he does save the day, he's never going to be able to leave again. Look at someone like Steve Jobs. He came back to Apple. He saved Apple. And now the entire company is built around that guy, and the guy can't ever leave. So Ron couldn't come back, because if he did, he would be there till the day he dies. So I'm amazed that he's decided to step completely out of it, but that's his decision. He seems happy. In everything he said in the interviews, it seems like, you know, he believes it's the right thing to do, and that's the last we're going to see of him.
One thing I did find interesting was that Hamilton said he wasn't disappointed in Ron's decision because it had come as a complete surprise to him as well as the rest of the team. How can that be?
Well, no, the same thing happened when he agreed to step down or step back at the launch of the McLaren car this year. Yeah. It was on AP Wire. Pretty much exactly the same moment that Hamilton found out. So I guess he's just not in the loop.
Well, they used to be thick as thieves at one point, obviously. But now, I mean, this is a direct quote. He said, "That's nothing to do with me. My job is to concentrate on racing."
Mm.
It's like he doesn't even care.
Well, there was a rumour, and I remember reading the comments earlier. I think it was from Rich. I don't know who his source was. But there was a rumour that Lewis has now lost the garage because he's basically put the blame onto Davey. Who was
came from Planet F1, I think.
Right. Oh, really? That may not be the most reliable source. That isn't the most reliable source in the world. But if the guy's lost the garage, then possibly he's lost Ron at the same time. I think we might need James Allen's opinion on this. What do you think of Ron Dennis leaving McLaren?
Get me out of here.
Non-committal there.
Even though the diffuser thing is out of the way, it's still been causing problems in the paddock, specifically between Braun and Renault.
I like the way you describe it as the diffuser thing.
Yeah, it's just a thing that happened.
Right, okay. So what else, what other problems has it been causing in the paddock?
Well, I say Renault, but really it's just Flav. He seems to have a bee in his bonnet about the whole thing.
Mm, yes, not been carrying himself too well.
Two weeks ago, at the last race, he had a go at Braun for not being in the spirit of the regulations. And of course, that was prior to the diffuser hearing. So he said, you know, it's not legal, it's not good.
Right.
Braun didn't really react. So Flav stepped it up a notch this week.
Okay, because he just cannot let it lie.
Speaking to Gazzetta dello Sport, he said, "The drivers in our teams have been and are world champions, while the championship is now fought between a driver who is almost retired and another who is a good guy but is as slow as a milepost."
Charming.
How rude.
That is...
unbelievably rude.
Yes, that is not necessary. Funny... but not necessary. How did Jensen react, didn't he?
Well, they both Button and Barrichello reacted, and it was brilliant because Button responded on the Friday by pointing out that actually Flavio had tried to hire him over the winter, which probably didn't please Piquet.
I shouldn't think it did.
And Barrichello called Briatore a bad loser, which sounds about right.
That's actually rather mild in comparison.
It was also funny to note that on Saturday, Flav and McLaren turned up with new diffusers, so
right.
Not in the spirit of the rules, but we'll do it as well.
We've got one just lined up and ready. So, and he was moaning about spending money, wasn't he? Spending too much money because of Braun.
Well, the next thing he said was that Braun GP should be blocked from getting any television rights money for 2009.
What?
He said that Ross Braun was our technical delegate and he forces me to spend money I don't have in my budget. My proposal will be as follows. Braun is richer than anyone else as he's had his team paid for by Honda and had $130 million given to him by Honda. He's certainly richer than I am.
Okay, how does he know that for a fact?
I don't know.
Would be question number one. Secondly, is that any of his business? Because, I mean, Renault have never been the richest team on the grid. And Honda have always, I believe, had a bigger budget than Renault when they've been fighting on the grid.
Well, Braun said, "It's a shame that he brings these things into the public arena as it's photo business, but that's his style. He's great with one-liners. I'm not, so I'm not going to respond."
I'm liking the way that Ross Braun and both the Braun drivers are carrying themselves in throughout this. I like that McLaren are completely staying out of it. They just turn it up with a new diffuser. What is up with Flav?
I think it just, as Barrichello said, bad loser. He didn't want the diffuser thing to come in, even though they had a spare one, and it did. And now he's just bitter.
Do you think he's losing, do you think basically he's now driving a wedge into FOTA? Because, I mean, Ross Braun is right. This shouldn't be aired in the public. This is something that definitely should happen behind closed doors that we can find out about later. We don't need to watch it happen and unfold in front of our own eyes.
It's definitely not going to make relations easy in FOTA, especially if Flavio isn't impressed at the fact that Braun is the technical delegate. He doesn't like what he's doing. I mean, they must have voted him in there.
Well, they did. The thing is, his own technical delegate, Pat Simmons, is responsible for bringing in these new rules and regulations. That guy messed up. It was, you know, the overtaking working group didn't spot this loophole in the diffuser regulations. That's the guy that Flavio should be laying into. How did you allow this diffuser loophole to appear?
And the other guy he should be laying into is PK.
Because he's useless.
Because he has done nothing to justify his appearance in that team, and yet they keep him on.
Every single race.
Sidepod Tour.
So this week we went to London.
We did.
And we went to the Science Museum to look at their F1 exhibit.
Yes.
And it was rubbish.
Rubbish is a bit harsh.
No, it was rubbish.
I cannot justify what they did. The thing is, it was a great concept that looked like it had been shoehorned in at the very last minute. It wasn't very well lit. It was hard to see a lot of the exhibits. I felt that the black table didn't stand out under the black lighting. Very hard to get a picture of basically an invisible table. I mean, unless that was the plan, unless the idea was to show us how cool you can make invisible tables using Formula One technology, didn't come across that well.
So the best thing about it was meeting all the people.
And what a lovely bunch of people they were.
Yes. Lots of people turned up.
Oh, yes. Huge amount of people, actually. I think we took over a large section of the Science Museum. At one point, we always got thrown out due to the size of our...
we kept blocking up the stairs.
Yeah, we were our very own SciPod fire hazard.
I think we only left about 3 people in the comments because there were so many of us.
Yes, which was good. I mean, should we do a roll call? We should give everybody a shout out for everybody who turned up and went to the effort of meeting us in London from wherever, from their respective homes. They travelled from far and wide. And therefore, we should just, let's list who turned up.
Okay, a quick roll call. Gavin, who I think came the furthest, didn't he?
He came from Denmark.
Yeah.
That is pretty special.
That's admittedly, dedication for you, isn't
not
it?
Just for the Science Museum and not just for the meetup. He was in London anyway. However, I think we should take that honour as our own and say that Gavin actually
claim that,
came.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came to see us.
So Gavin, Little Purple Goth Plus Children, Chris Evans, Chris with a K, Bassano Clapper, Lukey Lou, Toast Boy, Bootneck and Family, Chris Vampire, Alex Flibster, Jackie, Steve in the UK, and Pat W. I do hope I haven't missed anyone else.
Oh, we're bound to have missed somebody. Tell us in the comments if we have. I think that is everybody, isn't it? We should say, I think Little Purple Goth Children did steal the day, didn't they? They were rather cute.
They were very cute, and they kept you running around in the park.
Yes, it was really good to meet people because we've done individual meetups at places like Silverstone and Goodwood in the past,
yeah.
But we've never done a group hug. And that was good. It was different. The Science Museum, like we said, it was a bit of a letdown. Would we encourage people to go to the Science Museum and spend their money?
It's free.
It's free. Sorry,
I would only recommend going there if you are there.
Okay.
Or if you happen to be in London or near the Science Museum. I wouldn't recommend taking in a big journey.
There were some tenuous connections to F1. It had to be said. The fishing line possibly had nothing to do with Formula One whatsoever. And the welly boots, not really Formula One related either.
They were my favourite bit, though.
There
oddly.
Was a slightly... insane security guard. The entire place was set up, just to describe it for anyone who's not been, it's a bit like Mission Impossible, you know, when Tom Cruise has to dive through those the ridiculously plentiful red laser beams and it's impossible to get near anything. Anytime you want to go anywhere near a Formula One exhibit in the Science Museum, you have to dice with these ridiculous security alarms, which just basically went off all morning.
It was quite off-putting, really. In fact, we didn't stay in the Science Museum that long.
No.
In the end.
It was hot.
It was really hot in there, so we decided to head outside and we went to Hyde Park and we took an ice cream on board.
Emptied the shop of lollies, which is quite an achievement. We did record a podcast in the park.
Yeah, which is coming under several different names like SciPod Picnic Cast and Side Park Cast and all kinds of things like that.
But it's not been out yet. You've not edited it.
It's on Dropio as the unedited version, and I will get around to editing it at some point. It's kind of out of date now because it's got Chinese Grand Prix predictions in there.
Oh, but it's worth a listen.
But it's definitely going
to
be worth it.
Much fun to record. Really enjoyed that one. And
it was like a giant side pod chat.
Yes.
It was really good.
It was
and
wonderful.
Then we went on to the pub.
I have to say, big thanks to Alex, because I don't know of another pub in London which would be large enough to host everybody in the group.
Do you know any pubs in London? I don't know London at all.
Quite a few, surprisingly. Most of them are very busy. Most are very cramped. Alex managed to find us the perfect pub for a meetup. It wasn't too busy. It had nice food. There was enough space for all of us, and really, I think hats off to the guy, because that's what made the conversation that followed was really made by the fact that we could just all fit in and gather around and all listen.
I'm surprised you remember any of the conversation that followed.
Because I had a few to drink.
Yeah, you did.
I'm still suffering today, okay? You don't need to give me any more
grease.
You're
pretending it's man flu, but really it's just an extended hangover.
That would be one hell of a hangover. Like I said, it's all Bassano's fault, and I'm taking no responsibility for it whatsoever. But we had really good Formula One chats. Lots and lots of things to discuss. Did they have Sky Sports on the TV? So every 10 minutes there would be Braun would be popping up on the television. It was just a great place to be.
So I've written about it on the blog, and Lukey's written about it on his blog, and Pat on his.
Yes.
So we will link to them in the show notes, obviously.
Must read.
Gavin said he's going to write us a guest post.
Yes.
About the Science Museum as well. And we just want to extend the invite to anyone who came and doesn't have a blog themselves. We'd love a guest post, and we can group them all together in one big category.
Excellent. Everybody's thoughts all collected together. What you thought of the Science Museum and what you thought of the meetup. Are we going to do another meetup? I think we should. It was too much fun not to, wasn't it?
Of course. I don't know when or where, though.
I think there are rumours of a Lotus meetup in possibly Goodwood. We'll have to think of some events. The best thing about this event, it was essentially free. And I think we must owe people a lot of drinks, because I don't remember buying a single drink all night. We must have a lot of drink credit somewhere along the way to return the favour to.
The race. Before we talk about the race itself, you wanted to mention something about qualifying, because Alonso was second on his very light fuel load, and you reckon you saw it coming a mile off.
Ah, well, I'll tell you what I did. If you remember back to 2007, Renault came out with a revolutionary...
Nope.
That's asking a lot from you, isn't it? Renault came out with a revolutionary website edition, which was basically live telemetry from their cars. It was really fancy. I loved it in 2007. Then Alonso came back to the team in 2008, and it sort of went a bit wrong. I don't know if the two were related, but it went downhill in 2007. And I haven't used it for a while. I made an effort this weekend to really concentrate on what Renault were doing on their website. And as a result, because it gives you so much information, I could see exactly what strategy Alonso was running, could see that he was going to be the last person across the line, and therefore, I think at the time I predicted him for a second row. I didn't realise he was quite as light as he was. And I did see it unfold. I saw it unfold because I had this Renault telemetry website at my fingertips, and it's got better. It's not as good as 2007 still, but it's better than 2008, and I'm quite enjoying it. So I think next race I will try and follow it much more.
I was going to say it'd be good if all the teams did that, but then you wouldn't be able to follow them all, would you?
It would be wonderful if Bernie did it. That's what you need. You need F1.com to support exactly the same amount of information, and you can mix and match drivers and follow who you feel like following. You're right, a Renault site and a McLaren site and a Ferrari site, it would all get too much if they were individual. However, it offered great insight during qualifying, and I really enjoyed it.
If it was part of live timing, that would be excellent.
Perfect.
So the race started under the safety car because it was very wet, which was a little bit disappointing, but at least it was only 8 laps. I think at the time I said, if it goes on 10 laps, I'm going to bed.
Really?
And Lou was defending it, saying, you know, you've got to give it a chance. And I wasn't annoyed at the fact that it started under the safety car. I was just a bit tired.
Well, it was better than Fuji in 07. Because
it was only 8 laps.
Well, also because it wasn't 4 o'clock in the morning.
And it was made slightly more interesting because we had more team radio.
Yes.
Although you have to take every bit with a pinch of salt, because Martin kept saying they're not talking to us, they're talking to Charlie Whiting.
Absolutely, it was strategic, but at least it was something to listen to.
And I think there are a few more pit stops than you would have expected, considering how early on in the race it was.
Yes, it was a little bit more interesting than Fuji. I can't begrudge them, although I really think it should have just been a rain delayed start, and it should have started 20 minutes later.
Yeah, I do think the safety car stayed out for too long, because the conditions weren't that different.
They didn't change that rapidly, and the cars weren't clearing that much water, so he probably could have come in a few laps earlier.
However, the fact that it went round for a couple of laps meant that Heikki actually managed to complete a racing lap.
Yay!
Woohoo!
Third race.
I actually don't think he would have managed it if it hadn't been for the safety car, you know.
Really?
It was a bit slippy out there.
First corner incident was guaranteed, but the boy did good. You can't begrudge Heikki. He put in a really good race. You saw how many times Lewis Hamilton was off the track, spinning, facing the wrong way, getting caught behind.
Five.
Well, okay, 5 times it was.
Yes.
Heikki Kovalainen in a similar car. We're not sure it was an identical car because he wasn't as happy with the new front wing that the team brought to this race, but it was a very similar car. I don't think I saw Heikki spin once, did you? don't think I saw him off the track. He drove a very clean, very balanced race. And compared to the first two of the season, he needed that. He really did. So hats off to Heike. I think he pulled a blinder, really, all things considered. His teammate.
Hamilton was weird because at the beginning, I thought it was amazing. You know, he was just driving past people, not blinking, really brave or stupid, one or the other.
Well, no, he looked, you know, I think it was brave. He looked like he had
the car
under him.
Looked like he had it all hooked up and it was all good to go. And then suddenly he just started spinning all the time and mostly in the same place.
Yeah. It was, unfortunately, not going to be his race.
So this Christmas is going to be 5 Lewis spins then, instead of 5 Massa spins.
Come the end of the year,
yeah,
we may end up seeing that. The thing is, I mean, Massa got lambasted for what he did in Silverstone. Now, fair enough, the guy didn't finish in the points and Hamilton did. So they're not entirely comparable. The conditions weren't changing as much as they were in Silverstone. And I just think that given the grief Massa got, Hamilton probably deserves just as much. He was racy, which is good, but he was also rubbish.
He wasn't the only one having incidents, though. We saw quite a few collisions and things. Heidfeld and Glock had a bit of a tangle, but that was nothing major. Kubica flew over the top of Trulli, which knocked off the Toyota's rear wing.
That was a fantastic crash. I liked the very beginning of it when the camera missed the initial accident, and what we saw was a Toyota driving around without a rear wing, but he had rubber marks on the big shark fin.
Yeah, you said, that's a tyre mark.
What is going on? What happened to put the tyre marks right at the back of that rear wing? That was spectacular. And I'm amazed because Trulli was obviously out because he had no rear wing.
Yeah.
But I'm amazed that Kubica managed to continue.
Well, the BMW pitted for a new nose.
I'm surprised he didn't pit for a new car.
Well, yeah. But then he came back out on track and then the nose was like hanging off.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't think there was an issue. There wasn't another tap, was it?
I think it was incorrectly fitted somewhere. Yeah, it didn't fit properly. And they had
hats off
again
to the Toyota for an amazing nose change. I forget which car it was. Was it Glock? They absolutely changed that nose as if, you know, it was the fastest thing in the world and it didn't slow them down at all. You've got a new
is
nose
this year.
Is it
because they've had a lot of practice?
No, well, they've had less practice than Williams, let's be honest. You've got a new nose this year with the movable adjustable flap things, which makes it more complicated. They have more connections. The guy came along with the nose on the trolley. He slotted it into place. The car was off again. It was basically a 10-second pit stop for a brand new nose. Unbelievable.
PK had a superb spin. He crashed into one of the polystyrene braking zone markers, and it flew everywhere.
Yeah,
it was
they
quite
might want to make those a little bit softer.
Yes.
I would have thought that they shouldn't have caused that much damage to a nose, but it was inevitable. You were going to see PK pointing in the wrong direction at least once in that race. I'm surprised we didn't see more of it.
It took a while to happen as well. It was at least halfway through. Bourdais also had a magnificent spin. He went round about 6 times.
That was quite awesome.
It was entertaining, but considering how well Buemi did, must be quite embarrassing as well.
Well, that's an interesting one. In free practice, if you were dedicated enough to get up in the small hours of the morning in the UK or wherever you were in the world, you'd have seen Bourdais doing a much better job in this race than he has done in the past two. He was ahead of Buemi, I think, in every practice session. It looks like he managed to get to grips with the car. And I thought, genuinely, it was going to be his weekend. However, it didn't come together.
Buemi was awesome.
Yeah, he was. The thing is, that car,
they have totally switched allegiances.
Really?
I am not ashamed to say it.
Okay, that's disappointing,
yeah.
I think.
I'm fickle. But he was amazing. I mean, he passed people and he obviously kept it in a straight line, which helps compared to his teammate.
Yes.
And he finished in the points again.
But let's not forget,
for the second week out of three.
Second week, right, yes. But let's not forget that these guys, Bourdais and Buemi, are in the car, the same chassis that won the Grand Prix. Now, we don't know the relative engine merits of the Renault to the Ferrari. Last year, the Ferrari had more power than the Renault. This year, Renault have got an engine upgrade, which has probably given them a power advantage. However,
and Ferrari are useless.
Driving the best car, effectively the race-winning car, they didn't do that.
He's only on his third race, though.
Yeah, I suppose he is. That's true. Bourdais isn't, has no excuse. That was a poor show, and he should be disappointed in his performance.
The Red Bull won the race.
Yeah.
The same car as the Toro Rosso, essentially.
Mr. Vettel has turned it around a damn sight quicker this year than he did last.
He really has. But I did think this race, from his point of view, was quite similar to his other win. You know, he started from the front, it was raining quite a lot, and then he won.
Yes, it did.
I'm not saying it was easy.
Nope.
But
if you look
similar.
At what he did last race in the rain, he was one of the first guys to spin out, if not the first to spin out in wet conditions, whilst Webber did a much better job. And in the very first race, obviously, he did very well until he had the tangle with Kubica, which I still blame him for. So I think that's a pretty impressive turnaround for race number three.
Webber came second after starting third, so it was a Red Bull 1-2, which is weird because BMW's first win was also a 1-2, wasn't it?
That's a good spot. Yeah. Hadn't occurred to me that one. It was a fine showing from the Red Bull guys.
Do you think that Webber is really disappointed like Heidfeld was?
Yes. Because although I've yet to establish, I did ask in the comments, is that his best result ever? I know he did well at Monaco.
I think it was, yeah.
He came third at Monaco, didn't he? Yes, no question about it. He looked a bit miffed. He never looked like he was going to win the race. So the only way Webber could have won that race was if Vettel fell off the road. He never looked like a race winner, did he?
No, he had some good scraps with Button.
That was good. Enjoyable racing, that was.
Button came third, which I thought was also interesting because the Braun guys were looking quite disappointed with third. And you just think, you know, let's put it into perspective. You weren't going to be here.
Yes.
Third is still good.
Keep that in mind. There's no doubt about it. The Braun guys didn't have anything. They couldn't hold a candle to Red Bull.
No, I mean, they still were miles ahead of everyone else. But Red Bull just had it completely sewn up this weekend.
Yeah, what was wrong with Barrichello? Again, unimpressive. He was great at Silverstone. Wet weather specialist. Put money on Barrichello, surely. He qualified better than anybody on fuel adjustment when you look at the times that he put in. However, on a wet day in somewhat changeable conditions, it wasn't that changeable, but when there's unknowns about what the weather's doing, Barrichello is able to shine in normal circumstances, and he didn't today.
I don't remember seeing him much. I don't think he had a particularly eventful race.
He kept his nose clean for once.
Well, that's all you need to do in the rain, really, isn't it? The only other thing of note is he retired from the race. So Sutil, he had a massive crash.
I'm really disappointed in Sutil.
Again.
Those Force India guys must be gutted.
Yeah, again, the braking markers got the worst of it. But Sutil crashed out from sixth place.
Which was, he was there on merit. You can't fault him. He drove well. The car looked like it was going to be swallowed up pretty quickly. I mean, he was under pressure from Hamilton.
Well, I think he was pushing too hard.
Mm.
And obviously with the combination of the wet track.
Yeah.
It all went wrong.
Unlikely that he would have finished in sixth, I think. Well, then again, mind you, Hamilton did spin again after that moment, so possibly he could have. The guy did try just a tiny little bit too hard, exactly the wrong moment, and
it was quite a heavy crash as well. The whole front came off, but he was fine. He ran off, probably a bit embarrassed to face the wrath of the team.
Well, he did well. That's the thing. I mean, it's one of those things that it's really unfortunate that it came
Surely
so late in the race.
It's worse that. Or, I mean, it may not have been driver error, it may have been the wetness or whatever,
sure.
But Raikkonen didn't crash into the back of him. Whereas, you know, when that happened, it wasn't their fault, it was horrible, whereas this time he has to take on the responsibility for that.
Yeah, that's fair enough. The car probably isn't that sorted in the wet. I'm amazed he got as high as he did. I'm going to have to at some point look back and see what the strategy was and see how he got there. It's all credit to him that he did, and we keep that bit in mind and forget the whole crash business.
In the comments, Dom's just said, has everyone forgotten how many times Kazuki went off track? And I would say, yes, I have. But also, I didn't notice him retire. Apparently, he just snuck into the garage and disappeared. I didn't see it.
A huge, huge disappointment from Williams. Williams need to capitalise on the early races when they've got a decent car under them. Nico, again, in free practice.
What is up with the free practice pace and then nothing? I mean, I know free practice doesn't relate to race pace, but if you're going to be topping every session, I mean,
sure.
I think it's like 6 out of 9.
Right. And then nothing in the race.
Nothing in the race at all.
Nico, yeah, the drivers are letting the team down. They have the car. They have the opportunity to capitalise on something at some point. And every time they failed to do so, and they at some point they're going to have to sit down and think, well, what are we doing wrong? Because now we've got the car, we don't have the drivers.
Truly, obviously retired once the back of his car had been run over. And Massa, his Ferrari just pulled to a stop.
Mm.
It just died on him.
I have nothing to say about Ferrari.
I don't know what happened.
No. A lot of head scratching needs to go on in that team.
The personnel reshuffle didn't seem to work this weekend. The only good thing you can say about them is they didn't choose the wrong tyres. I think it's only fair, seeing as you missed out on the opportunity to commentate on the actual race itself, that we hear from James Allen. What does he think about the race, the podium, the winners?
And the rest, well, they're just left sweating in their wake.
Gross. Thanks for that.
Fantasy Racers.
In fifth place is Team Super Emu with 2169. In joint third, Gemini Masters Racing and Magpie Underdogs with 2172. Second is Couch Potato with 2204. And first, Brauntastic with 2210. I am back on form in the Fantasy Racers League.
I thought it was a fluke.
It's all
I
good.
I honestly, genuinely didn't think you were ever going to be able to scale those lofty heights again.
Clearly I'm not first again, but I am 12th, which I think is pretty good.
That's pretty incredible. At some point in the future, you may have to read out your own name.
I know. That'd be weird.
That would be quite spooky.
Lou is just behind me, and I think there may be a competition forming between me and Lee.
That's quite annoying, because last year...
It was you and Lee.
Yeah. Where am I?
You.
Nah, it didn't matter.
195th. No.
Doesn't matter.
195.
Nope. Didn't hear that at all.
Do you remember when we did the show about this and we were like 200 and something in our own league?
Yeah.
This year it's you.
How many is in our league though?
About 512. Some.
How impressive is that?
That is amazing. So in terms of prices at the time of recording, Button still on the same price, which is interesting. Maybe we've hit a plateau there.
Okay.
So no one else can afford him until he drops down a bit.
That's exactly what's happened.
Hamilton has gone up slightly, which is interesting. Kimi and Massa still on the way down. No surprises there. Needless to say, Vettel has shot up. And when I checked, he was the same price as Barrichello.
That's incredible. Barrichello hasn't won a race, I suppose. Yeah. My question is, how low will the Ferrari drivers go?
Do you think they will drop lower than like Sutil and
That would be Fisichella. Immense. At the way they're going, would you put them in your team now?
No way. Although at the moment, I think Sutil... and Fisichella may be the ones you buy when you're like, well, I've got a bit of money left.
Yep.
So I'll just pop them in my team because you never know. They might finish some laps,
yes.
Get some points in. So if Raikkonen and Massa get that far down, it'd be worth having them, wouldn't
it? I have more faith in a Force India finishing the Grand Prix than a Ferrari right now. Fact.
In terms of the leagues, we are still leading. We're 80 points ahead of Hello F1. And then there's Autosport F1 and Pitlane Fanatic are fourth. I think we may be 100 ahead of them, so the gap is not that huge. And then racingbulls.net are in fifth.
That's a good top five.
Yeah. Gavin has put together a great spreadsheet.
Blooming fantastic.
Of all Fantasy Racers data. I mean, there's so much information there, I couldn't really condense it.
What a geek.
It's brilliant.
I had no idea until today.
There's numbers, there's graphs, there's all kinds of good stuff. So it's on Dropio, and we will link to it, obviously. And I hope he keeps it up because there's some great stuff in there. On the subject of Fantasy Racers, I had an email from Keith the Marshall. He said, that's it, no more predictions as I just get it wrong. But on the bright side, I have the top four in my FR team and I'm so gutted for Sutil. Also, I will now never ever listen to the TV commentary again. The bloke is, and there are a lot of dots, there is no word to explain.
That bloke being Jonathan Ledyard.
That would be the one.
Yeah, he is a dot,
dot, dot, dot,
dot. Yeah, we're giving one more race, shall we?
Well,
or should we just hang him now?
I tell you what, I had a voicemail from Lukey who does a brilliant impression of him.
Hello and welcome to a new season of Formula One with me, Jonathan Ledyard. I don't know what my name is, but welcome to Formula One. I'm here with Michael Brendle. Martin, I'm sorry, Martin. I'm just getting used to this great sport. Martin, what's your opinion on this great sport? I totally agree. And back to the racing on the track, we can see the grass is swaying in the wind. Wow. It's truly great to be here in Sepang, Melbourne. We're in Melbourne, Sydney. Melbourne. Thank you for joining us today on Channel 4, BBC. Channel BBC 4 1. I'm Jonathan Ledyard, and I love football, Formula 1. Formula 1. Goodbye.
How awesome is that?
That is the first time I've listened to that in its entirety. That is basically just sums it up.
I love
it?
The end though, and I really love football. Oh, Formula One.
Just it got worse I just when I thought the guy couldn't get any worse, he got a lot worse. He got to the point when he was just naming what he saw on the screen in a very slow and patronizing way. And it's
Let's not go into it anymore. We don't like him. Let's just leave it at that.
Wait, we need to get rid of him.
Well, we can't because
we can start a campaign.
We asked for a replacement. I wonder what James thinks of him.
Get me out of here.
And to the commentating box, presumably.
Quite possibly.
I did have an email from Sebastian as well, though, who has a different complaint about the BBC. It says, Dear Christine, so far I am more than pleased with the BBC coverage, but obviously that will not stop me complaining. It's just like us. I can understand that the BBC One coverage had filled its time slot, but why did they not show the driver's press conference on the interactive stream? Also, why are the highlight shows not shown on non-digital terrestrial? Well, I would just like to interrupt myself there.
Yes, Murray.
But I don't think the digital thing can really be a problem anymore, can it? Because everything's going digital very soon.
Well, you say that, but Pat in the comments pointed out earlier yesterday, I think it was, he cannot get digital. Even now, there is no digital signal for him to pick up at all. He's just got analog and that's it.
Which I understand, but if everything is going digital anyway, there's going to be the big digital switchover.
Yes.
You can't be mad at the BBC.
I can see what they're doing with what they've got. I swear I saw the press conference on the interactive forum online. So I don't know which bit he's talking about that he didn't see.
He may mean on the telly.
Okay. I mean, they did run out of time. They overran. The race ran its full distance. And they went to a forum, which is good because for a very short period, I thought there wouldn't be a forum. I think they did a pretty good job and much better than ITV would have done. I don't know what they're doing about the analog digital thing, though. It seems like they're doing the best they can with the bandwidth they've got available.
And Sebastian carries on, I did not recall any interviews today with retirement drivers. I seem to be on my own at being disappointed when it emerged that Louise Goodman would not be part of the BBC team, but I wonder if others may be starting to miss her. I can understand her manner may not have appealed and her interview approach might have seemed vapid, but just how deep can you get with two quick questions? As an ex-Jordan employee, she seemed to be accepted by the drivers, was able to get interviews after her retirement in almost every case, and could be surprisingly subtle at sometimes evoking more heartfelt responses than drivers usually give. Whatever her style, that ability to engage might have been underestimated.
Yep, granted. The problem I had with Louise was she was a little bit close with one or two of the drivers to the point of being very, very uncomfortable.
It was horrible.
However, Lee is not there.
I don't know whether they are stopping her, but we are not seeing enough of her.
No.
Is it that they're not giving her the opportunities or is she not creating them for herself?
They didn't throw down to the pits enough to Ted and Lee today anyway, which seemed like a bit of a shame because there must have been an awful lot going on in the pits. But Lee didn't do a grand job of getting driver interviews the second they retired. Now, there weren't that many, fair enough, but I didn't hear her talking to Massa at all. I saw him getting off the bike, didn't see Lee talking to him. Didn't find out what happened to Trulli until we got to the red button. Same with Nakajima. So she's got to work harder. Or they've got to throw down to her and manage how they're communicating with the pit boys and pit girls. Because it's just...
we hear enough from Ted, don't we? I mean, we'd always love more.
We did in practice. We heard more of him in practice. Mm. I think the 5 Live Radio are better at throwing down to the pit lane. They do it more frequently for just non-trivial things. Occasionally when Holly's there, they'll throw down to Holly and she'll just give a rundown of the order. Because just to, you know,
a
just for a different voice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're not. I mean, I guess they've got more troubles with Jonathan. But then if you've got Jonathan on board, you want to throw down to the pits more.
That is pretty much it for this weekend. Like we said, there should be a side pod park
podcast coming soon.
Yep. Yep. And then it's headlong into Bahrain because we have another back-to-back
race. It's a very, very hectic start to this year.
It really is. But
we started late.
Yeah.
And they're just packing the races in.
They are. But I think we noticed, didn't we, that there aren't any more back-to-back races at all for the rest of the year.
Oh, fair enough. Okay. So it's
just God for that.
A bit chaotic before we come back to Europe. So one more race without a parade lap. And then the parade lap will come back when we get to Europe.